good afternoon. Nice to see so many. And the girls did so well. All right. As you've gathered from the story, in the first scene, we had a girl who'd been bullied. Her mum couldn't afford to buy what she wanted her to have. But she was honest and she was open with her daughter and told her that she would really love to give her these gifts but just couldn't afford to do it. But what the girl really wanted wasn't a gift. It wasn't something in a piece of paper that was wrapped up. What she really, really wanted was to see her dad. Now, in our play, we said it was 3 years since she'd last seen him, which is a long time for anybody to go without seeing the parents. And this was confirmed in the school scene when we had them in school. And the girl, as you can see, she was being ignored by her peers. They weren't looking after her. They weren't really interested in her. Were talking over her until such time as she said that it was her father. The best gift she'd had that Christmas was Dad being at home. And there are a lot of families in this country who would love to have had Dad at home for one reason or another. And as Christians, we've always got Dad at home. As Christians, we always know the love of the Father. Sometimes our natural fathers let us down, whether on purpose or by accident, through no fault of their own. But God never lets us down. In our second scene, we had a rich family. Money was no object. Wasn't an issue. The child got whatever she wanted. The parent just gave in for some peace and quiet. And you can understand that when you've got Abby. Please, 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 please. Going on and on and on. Parents, you all know what it's like when your child wants something and they never shut up until they get what they want. And it's easy to give in for some peace and quiet. But you know, it's good for us to give in to God and then God will give us some peace. Doesn't always give us some quiet, but he gives us lots of peace. Daniel was telling us how, when he was taking his drugs, how life was difficult for him, how he had no peace. He thought he was having fun, but as he got older, he realised that he wasn't having fun. The drugs were actually ruining his life and making life difficult, stopping him from making decisions for himself. The question is this afternoon, what would you do for some peace and quiet in your life? What's causing you problems? Got too many bills to pay? You're not able to pay the rent or the mortgage? Is the bailiff coming knocking on your door? Have you got troubles in your family? Or are you not very well, or family members not being well? Is your car on its last legs? Or wheels, shall we say? Does your house need lots of repairs doing to it? Have your friends fallen out with you? Or are you just lonely and rejected? Or are you just generally frustrated? We then went to school. Oh joy, what a lovely place. There was lots of fuss there about what was the best gift. And what is the best gift? What was the best gift you got this Christmas? It was one of two things. It was either from somebody that you really, really loved, or it was something that you really, really wanted. The best gift is usually something that we really want. When I was a child, some generous person used to think it would be fun to give you a box of handkerchiefs. Come on, why does a child need a box of handkerchiefs? What are sleeves for? Sleeves were meant for wiping your nose on, weren't they? Sleeves are used for children. You behave like children. For us as children, the best gifts were toys. As we grow older, the best gifts are more substantial. When you've got a partner, the best gifts usually have diamonds on them. And when you get past that stage, your partner's gift is usually the one that you treasure most because it's from someone that you love. Now, when it was this Christmas, I've got a little thing that I do with my friends. I prepare a list. And before Christmas, I give them a list of things that I would need or things that I would like, to my friends, obviously. I've not put a new house down yet, or a new car, that will come later. And they also give me ideas and give me their lists, if you like. But I've found that when I'm buying for friends' husbands, the best thing to do is to give the wife the opportunity to be my personal shopper and buy the gifts for the husbands, because the wife knows what the husband likes. The wife also knows what she'd like a husband to wear. I may go and buy something that I think is absolutely beautiful, and the wife might look at it and think, he's not wearing that. So if you send the wife Christmas shopping for the partners on your behalf, things usually turn out quite well, don't they? And it's the same with us, you know. We like to know what people want so that we can get them the best gifts. And we don't send gifts to people that we don't like, do we? And yet the best gift at Christmas is the gift that God gave to us all. God gave us his Son. Which brings us to the passage that we did on the parable. The parable was based on the prodigal son, but you may have noticed that our youth group is girls. And we didn't want to call it the prodigal daughters, but that's what it was. So I'm just going to read you from the Bible the story of the prodigal son to refresh your memories, and for those of you that are not familiar with it, to let you know what it is. It's taken from Luke chapter 15, and it is not really, really lengthy, but it's not dead short either. Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11. Jesus was telling a parable, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. In other words, he's saying, I can't wait for you to die, I want my inheritance now. Not very friendly. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he would gladly have filled his food with the food that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and sandals on his feet. You see, the young man was just interested in going home and getting his stomach full again. He wasn't really bothered about his father. He only came home because he was hungry. But when he was a great way off, his father had seen him. He ignored the speech and he sent for the robe, the rings and the shoes. And he said to his servants, bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. When his older son was in the field, as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, your brother's come home. Because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and wouldn't go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he said to his father, these many years I've been serving you, I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf. And he said, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And when you come to God the Father, whatever your reason for coming to him is, he always runs for you. He right now is looking in this building at every single one of us, and he's looking at us with love. He has a gift for every one of us. The gift that he has for us is Jesus. And at this time of the year is when we celebrate Christmas. But what we're really celebrating is the gift that God has made to each one of us. And so now we go back to an earlier question. What would you do for peace in your life? Many years ago, more years than I care to remember, I was having trouble with my car, with my family, with my house. Everything was going wrong. So I decided, tonight's the night, I'm going to kill myself. Hose in the car, all ready to go. But God's got a sense of humour. Do you know the car broke down? It's like everything I'm doing is going wrong. Nothing is going right. So a friend of mine, actually I spoke to Grace on the phone first, because I wasn't talking to him, I didn't like him. I do now. It's turned out he's really all right. But I spoke to Grace, and she said, well, why don't you come over? Well, I'd love to come over, but the trouble is the car's not working very well. Now, as luck would have it, I put some water in the car and forgot to put the stopper back on. And I managed to get to their house without the car conking out on me. But when I got there, some nice gentleman fixed the car. And I was thinking to myself, I wouldn't be fixing it if he knew what was going to be happening later on tonight. Now, this was a Sunday, and they took me to church. And although I can't remember the exact words, I do know that that night, the pastor of the church spoke about having peace with God. Now, who knows that when your life's falling apart, you can't pay your bills, you're having to look after family members, work full time, everything's going wrong, including the car. Who knows that that is the time that the devil will try and get you to do a foolish thing and take your life. Now, that might have put me out of the misery that I was having at the time, but a life after death without God isn't any fun either. And so having peace with God was the best thing that happened in my life. The prodigal went back to his father, and he welcomed him with open arms. And some of us have been lost or separated from our natural fathers. But as I said earlier on, we are never separated from God. When Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood that we might be forgiven, healed and set free, God looks at that blood that covers our sin, and he never looks at us. When once we've received him as our Saviour, he never looks at you and says, you miserable sinner. He looks at you and he sees the blood of Jesus, and he knows that you're his family. God has a bad rep. Some people believe that as a Christian, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go here, you can't go there. What a load of rubbish. As a Christian, the Bible tells me I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. As a Christian, you won't be looking for an excuse to do the wrong thing. You will always be looking to do the right thing. But the good news for us today is like the parable that we've talked about with the prodigal son. We go our own way sometimes for good reasons or bad reasons. We think that we've got everything covered. We think that we can manage, and sometimes we can. People use us, just like in the story. while ever the person had money, had friends, but as soon as the money had gone, so had the friends. True friends are there all the time, whether there's any money or not. But the Father is always looking for us to turn to Him. We may have wasted things. We may have wasted lots of things in our lifetime. We may have wasted time. We may have made poor judgments about our friends and our relationships. But God's not looking for us to beat us up. God's looking at us to welcome us into His family. Now, I spoke the other week, and just to wrap in a nutshell, just to explain a little bit of a mystery. God, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, tells us that He demonstrates His own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Don't wait until you are better. Don't wait until you stop misbehaving. Don't wait until you've got all your ducks in a row to receive Jesus. God loves us with our sins. It's the sins He doesn't love. In Romans 3:23, it tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which means that everybody in here at some time has sinned. And would it surprise you to know that I fully expect to sin tomorrow? There's nobody in this room that's not going to sin tomorrow. And most of us will sin today. But God loves us. He's not looking to condemn us. But sin has its problems. Again, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it tells us that the wages of sin is death. Who wants to die? But it says that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. A gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus. Jesus did all the dying that we need to do. We will physically die, but spiritually we'll live forever. And I know for myself, when I leave this earth, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to the other place. There's nothing down there that I want. So the problem then is, if we know that the remedy is accepting the gift of God, what's our response going to be? Well, our response, if we don't know, is that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I was at school, I used to have the kids in hysterics because they'd sometimes tease me because I was a Christian. I'd say, yes, but it's all right for you bunch of heathens. You've got to remember that I'm the righteousness of Christ. And they're like, oh, miss, you do tell funny stories. And it's like, if you were more familiar with this, you'd know that I'm not bragging. Because when once you've received the Lord, you receive all His good gifts. And part of His good gifts is righteousness. And the Bible tells us again in John chapter 1 and verse 12 that to all who receive Him, to those that believe in His name, He gives them the right to become the children of God. So I'm just going to ask you again, how do I get free from the law of sin and death? How do I get free from the law of sin and death? I get free from the law of sin and death by asking the Saviour to receive me. Turning from my sins, saying, I'm sorry I've been a pain in the neck. Please come into my heart and live in me. And that really is the message of Christmas. Yes. The gift of God is eternal life. And although Christmas is celebrated in December, which isn't His actual birthday, it's very, very special time of the year for us that we remember just what a tremendous gift that God has given to us.
Thank you, Ellen. The gift at Christmas. So often, right through Christmas, we receive gifts from friends and family members, lovely presents, and we enjoy Christmas because of that. You know, we know in the Word of God it says that the angels came and announced to the shepherds that a Saviour had been born. And they said, peace on earth, goodwill towards all mankind. What a tremendous declaration. The angels came and spoke the words of God, what he thinks towards mankind. And he said, peace on earth, goodwill to everybody. Isn't that great when somebody comes up to you and they're not wanting to be angry and mad with you, but they're being nice and kind and gentle and friendly? It's nice, isn't it, when it's like that? You think, they're a friend, don't you? You know, those are the people you want to hang around with. You know, you don't want somebody who's always... If you don't, you know. You don't want those sort of people in your life, do you? You know, you avoid them. You know, you go around the other way and think, yeah, okay, fine, I'll just ignore them and just disappear. But God sent a message, and he says he sent a host of angels that said, peace on earth, goodwill towards mankind. That's the love of God today. The story hasn't changed in 2,000 years. God's opinion, God's love has not changed in the last 2,000 years. He's reaching out his arms and he's saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. God is reaching out his arms and saying, come on, take hold of my hands. Take hold of my arms. Come to me. Come to me. Like the prodigal son. The father is a picture of God looking for that lost child, saying, come on, I'm waiting for you. He's standing there. And he's looking for him on the horizon, saying, where is he? Where is he? Where are my lost children? And today, this very day, God is looking for his lost children. And if you don't know Jesus as your own friend and personal Savior, then let me tell you, he's looking for you. His eye is searching through the country, through the nations, throughout the world. He's looking for you. Because the God that I serve, the Jesus that died on a cross for me, said to me, God is love. Come on. God is love. He's not angry with me. He's actually in love with me. He's in love with you. Oh, he doesn't like the sins that we commit. He hates those. But he loves me. He loves you. And so today God is crying out, and the message of Christmas is that God loves you. Come on, God loves you. And he's looking for you. That is the message of Christmas. And the greatest gift that you and I can ever receive is to ask the Lord Jesus to come into our hearts and into our lives. Make him the Lord and Savior. That each day, every morning as we wake, he can take our hand. And he leads us along a good path. He leads us in the right way. He keeps us safe and he protects us. And you know, when we've got problems and difficulties, he puts his arms around us. And he says, I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. That's God. That's my God. And he cares for each and every one of us. Okay, you can let go. What happens, isn't it? You know, when you love somebody so much, you hang on to them. You have so much feeling for them. And God is reaching out for every one of you today. And I just want to ask you for a moment, just give me one moment. I just want to ask every one of us just to think and just to bow our heads in prayer. Close our eyes. Just to bow our heads at this point in time. Just to be still. All the children to be still. Every eye to be closed. Every head to be bowed at this time. And I just want to ask you, if you have never asked the Lord Jesus into your heart and life, then today I want to give you the opportunity to ask Jesus to be the best gift this Christmas time, to come into your heart and life, and you give him the best gift, and that is to give him your heart and your life. And I guarantee you will know such a blessing and you will know such a reward in your life in these next coming months. So if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you want to ask him to come into your heart and life, can I just ask you to just raise your hand while everybody's eyes closed? Just raise your hands and say, I want the Lord Jesus in my life. I want, thank you. Just raise your hand. If you've never done it before, and you want Jesus, you want this peace, and just raise that hand. Thank you. One, two, three. Amen. Just pop your hands down. Anybody else? I'm going to say it one more time. Is there anybody else that wants to ask the Lord Jesus into their hearts and lives and make him Lord? Amen. Praise God. I'm just going to pray. Father, I just thank you for these hands that have been raised. I thank you, Lord, for decisions that have been made. And most of all, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the gift of eternal life that you give to us. So, Lord, I pray for these young men and young women that have made a decision for you. Father, I pray that their lives will be changed. And the gift of Christ will change them and make them something unbelievably special. Lord, that this gift will be so precious to them. And that, Lord, their lives will become lives of light and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Young people, you did a great job today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're going to have to come up with something else now. Okay? There's the challenge. They did a great job.